From New Orleans, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. The funk band Galactic is in love with space. They declutter their songs just enough to let the funk come through.
I mean, one of the most powerful things that a producer has in their hand is the mute button. It's huge. I mean, oh, wow, it doesn't have to have eight parts going on at the same time.
Right.
I think that's how a lot of our songs evolve. You know, they start at one place and they get to wherever they end up, usually not by adding stuff, but by taking stuff away.
Meet Robert Mercurio, Ben Elman, and Stanton Moore of Galactic. They're the Marie Kondos of funk. After the break. Musicians often say that being in a band is like being married to all the other members. So, call the jeweler, because this is the silver anniversary of Galactic. Over the past 25 years, Galactic has been a standard bearer of New Orleans-style funk, jazz, electronica, hip-hop, and other danceable music. Galactic's grooves are thrilling to fans and music critics. But perhaps most tellingly, the band is also treasured among musicians of every stripe. What do Irma Thomas, Macy Gray, Robbie Robertson, Casa Samba, Big Frida, Boyfriend, Juvenile, Trombone Shorty, Princess Shaw, and the Mardi Gras Indians have in common? Guess! Travels the world and has released its 9th studio album. Members are also in a new business together as owners of the New Orleans nightclub everybody loves.
Good evening and welcome to world famous Tipitina's. Would you help me welcome New Orleans' very own Galactic?
Robert Mercurio plays bass, Stanton Moore plays drums, and Ben Elman plays horns in Galactic. They've joined us here at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Center. Thanks so much for coming, and many happy returns.
Thanks for having
indeed.
Us.
Great Thank to be you. Here.
Well, Robert Mercurio, I'm going to start with you.
Sure.
All right, we should mention that there are two other members of Galactic who are not with us today.
Yeah, we're our guitar player, Jeff Rains, who I grew up with and have been best friends since like third grade. We moved to New Orleans together in 1990.
Wow.
And Rich Vogel is the keyboard player. And we also tour with Erica Falls as our vocalist.
The great singer, Erica Falls.
Yeah,
yes.
She's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And Shamar Allen on trumpet augments our band on the horn section.
Oh, boy, is he great, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, they're both. I mean, we're really lucky to be able to have such talented people tour with us.
Absolutely. So, Robert Mercurio, you and Jeff Rains, as you say, you were at the beginning of Galactic back in 1990.
Yeah, it was a whole different animal back then, and we just had dreams of starting a band in New Orleans when we moved down here. I mean, we came from D.C. Our original name was Galactic Prophylactic.
I remember.
And we played house parties, and the band really didn't solidify until we met with Stanton. That was the winter of
1992.
So, wow, it was like, that's when we were like, okay, we got like the rhythm section together. Like, we got a bass and a drums guitar. And then we hooked up with Rich Vogel because he had an organ. And that was really
Let's
cool.
Be friends.
Yeah.
You like, have an
hey,
organ.
We, you know, and we had wanted to play like old meter songs and stuff like that together. And we were like, we needed a keyboard player.
Thank you.
he lived in the neighborhood. We all were up in like the 13th Ward in Uptown,
where the Neville Brothers used to live.
Yeah.
So that's what I wanted to ask you. I mean, what was the New Orleans music scene like in the 1990s when you all were thinking about coming together as a band? Who were you watching? Who were you listening to? I'm going to ask each of you.
Sure. I thought it was extremely vibrant. I mean, all the Meters were playing individually as their bands. They would come together as the Funky Meters. You know, we were just soaking that stuff up at Tipitina's and all those clubs. And there was, like, this uptown venue called Benny's.
Yes.
On the corner of Allen's and Camp. And we just really fell in love with that place. And that's where we met Therrell DeCluett, our original singer. He was fronting a band called Michael Ward and the Reward.
Right. I'm going to ask you about Therrell DeCluett. But let me ask you, Stan Moore, were you going to the same places? Were you seeing other bands, listening to other music?
The answer is yes and yes. Both. So I was very fortunate to have parents who were very supportive, and they would let me go out and sit in.
Really?
And I would go almost, you know, 3, 4, 5 nights a week and sit in at Benny's, and then I would go see shows at Tipitina's. And there was also a Young People's Jazz Forum on Sundays that I would go to Tipitina's. I think I started going there when I was about 16, and that's where I met Johnny Vidakovich.
The great drummer.
Yeah, yeah. My mentor and spiritual advisor and good friend to this day. And I would go out as a high school senior and sit in till like 2 o'clock in the morning, and my parents were like, "Well, why are you coming home so late?" I was like, "Well, because they don't let me sit in until the end of the gig," you know. So
what kind of advice did your parents give you when they were sending their child out into the night and hoping that he would return by dawn?
Oh, they were always wanting me to go with somebody else. You know, I'm like, well, I can't always find somebody to go with me. Sometimes I got to show up at these places by myself and wait until the end and sit in. And the whole time, I used to carry a musical notation notepad, and I would take notes. I would sit next to Russell Batiste, who was, yeah, Russell to me, you know, I just did a story with Drum Magazine, and they asked me, who is the funkiest drummer in the world? And I said, Russell Batiste.
Wow.
I mean, he just is. I don't make it out every single night like I used to,
mm-hmm.
but there was, I mean, 20 years where I was out every night, multiple places.
Mm-hmm. All right, and Ben Elman, what's your story? Are you from here?
No, I'm originally from California.
Really? What part?
Well, I grew up in Los Angeles, but I came here via Santa Cruz. In Santa Cruz, I was a DJ at the community radio station there. So I came to New Orleans in 89, right after there was the Loma Prieta earthquake.
Wow.
So I remember it was during the Bay Bridge collapsed, and it was during the World Series.
I remember that, yeah.
Allowing Jose Canseco to score, and he fails to get Dave Parker at second base, so the Oakland A's take.
I'll tell you what, we're having an earthquake.
So I came here on some FEMA money. FEMA had just started, and I got a little coin, and I took a road trip. It was a road trip with my buddy Jonathan Frelick, who's a very prominent musician in New Orleans.
Exactly.
And the short story is we came here just on a vacation and never left. But really what happened was I went to a jam session. I'd only been playing saxophone about a year. This place called Little People's Place on the corner of Barracks and Treme, mm-hmm. and I met Corey Henry.
Oh, boy.
And Corey Henry invited me to play with his brass band, the Little Rascals Brass Band. And that just turned into a full-time job, and I never left New Orleans.
And how much did you know about New Orleans music? I mean, you said you had your own show in California.
Yeah, I was. I really started playing the saxophone because of the Dirty Dozen Brass Band. That was really one of them.
Were you playing them on your show?
Yeah, absolutely.
What else were you playing on your show?
A lot of jazz, mostly. I was playing like Dirty Dozen and Art Ensemble of Chicago.
It was
kind of a crazy mix. So when I got here, to me, it was the same as the fellas here. It was a Benny's was an incredible experience.
Benny's is closed now, and
yeah.
I think it's somebody's house now.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time I drive by, I think to myself, what must it be like to live in that space? Can you feel, the spirits of what had happened, of the people who were there before, all those great musicians and all those people trying to get laid in the audience,
Yeah, totally, yeah. They have no idea the debauchery that went on in their house. But I ended up actually spending a lot of time going to Tipitina's and then eventually got a job there. And it was the same thing with the Neville Brothers were ruling Tipitina's.
Wait, you got a job in the kitchen?
Yep. And I really took the job just so I can get guest list privileges. Because if you work there, you get tickets for every show. So that was really my 2 days a week. I got paid once a month, and that paid my rent. Because rent was cheap back then. And I got to go to all the shows at Tips for free.
Okay, can you cook?
No, I was a fry cook. But I put a lot of love in it. I made a lot of cheese fries. And I was the only, I think I was the only chef there that actually layered my cheese fries. Instead of plopping the cheese on top and melting them, I would layer them, melt them, layer them, melt them. So there was some love.
That's significant. Yes. Oh, boy. Well, I'm telling you something you already know, but your ears as Galactic band members appear to be huge in that you didn't start out just playing covers and letting that be the end of it. You played, like, interesting covers, you played Duke Ellington.
Yeah,
you know, Blue Pepper,
yeah.
On an album, on a live album at Tipitina's. You closed out the night playing Ozzy Osbourne, Sweet Leaf, Black Sabbath.
My life is free now, my life is clear, and I love you, Sweet Leaf, though you can't hear what I say now. Try it out, world.
Stan Moore?
Well, I think we just all grew up loving so many different kinds of music. And to be honest, I grew up trying to learn how to play jazz, and, I'm still working on that, right? Especially jazz that is, swinging or groove-based or, especially rooted in New Orleans. And, my favorite drummers are Herlin Riley, Shannon Powell, Johnny Vodakovich, Little Philly Joe Jones, Little Max Roach. Elvin Jones, and so I'm learning stuff from these guys all the time. They're always hipping me to new types of music, First time I ever heard about Big Frida was from Ben and Robert,
Wow.
And next thing I know, we have Big Frida on our record. I'm like, okay, this is different, And but we trust each other enough to be like, okay.
No more dreams now. No more dreams. No more dreams now. No more dreams now. Let's go.
In the early years, Galactic, as you all have mentioned, you had your own lead singer, Therrell Houseman DeCluett.
Yeah, he passed away in late July.
In 2018. And you've talked about him as a mentor as well as a musician. Can you all tell us more about what he was like to be with when you all were starting out your band? Stanton Moore?
Well, he believed in us before we even had the confidence to believe in ourselves. And for him to have gotten in what was my parents' 1978 Ford Econoline van that I went to Disney World in when I was 6 years old, and we bought that van in 1995 or six and hit the road in 96. For him to get in that van at this age and believe in us, I realized what a leap of faith that was.
How much older was he than you at that time?
20-something years
yes.
older than
yeah.
us.
20-something years old. I mean, this is your parents' dream come true. This is somebody who can actually look after you.
Yeah, right. They...
yeah, that's I mean, right? Yeah.
If only they knew. Only they knew.
Yeah. Yeah, responsible adult. You know, adult, yes. but he was so... He was so generous to us, you know, with his time and his life experience. And I realize now what a chance he took coming on the road with us.
This time's gonna be different. I see fortune and fame. The myth will surely travel. While the truth remains the same. From this hole in my soul will surely, surely, surely flow all my tears of woe.
He knew that we could do it given enough time, you know. After a couple of years of really slushing it out on the road, we started to see people turning up and the excitement, and it really gave us the courage to get over that hump, which was a good 3 or 4 years, you know, before we got into a bus and we were like, okay, this is starting to become sustainable now.
He was also the smartest one in the band by yeah. far.
Really, Ben Elman, smartest,
oh
really.
Oh man, he was so encyclopedic. He knew so much and, like, I don't know, absorbed everything. He was just so smart and wise. He really was.
With this taking over Tipitina's, I've been thinking about him a lot because he really, like, always pushed us and told us to think outside the box and think bigger than we, you know, we were just happy to, like, oh, there's 50 people tonight. Yay! And he's like, we should be thinking about playing to 1,000 people. And I'd be like, you're crazy. That's never going to happen. And, but, you know, and this Tipitina's thing, I
we can talk about it soon. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to talk about him, but, you know, I feel like he would be really proud of us, you know.
I bet you're right, actually. I bet you're right. I mean, it seems as if the whole town is proud of you, actually, at this moment. You know? And, you know, so. What I liked about Theroux de Clouet's voice is that he had this really kind of easy style in singing a song. He almost had that kind of Bill Withers comfort, you know what I mean, in a song, you know, or Oscar Brown Jr. You know, there was like a, you know, he was telling you something, you know what I mean, that he thought you might like to know.
Yeah, yeah, you could feel his life that he had lived in his voice. You know, like you're like, oh, I believe this guy, you know.
We took a walk in the sun and everybody feeling fine. We took a walk in the sun, hey, we forgot about time. We took a walk in the sun and he was beaming down. We took a walk in the sun, said the smoke was coming off the ground. Everybody wants some.
That's Theroux, Houseman de Clouet, and Galactic everybody with Everybody Wants Some, Part 3. From their 1996 album, Coolin' Off. Coming up, Galactic gets an unexpected Valentine. Stay with us.
Hey, take a walk in the sun.
This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. We're talking with Ben Elman, Robert Mercurio, and Stanton Moore of the band Galactic. They met when they were still in school in New Orleans. And now, more than 25 years later, they remain students of the city's funk traditions. Of course, all funky roads in New Orleans lead to the genius of the Meters. And so does our conversation. Each man has a favorite Meters song. Robert Mercurio?
I gotta say, I mean, just you put me on the spot. I'll say Just Kiss My Baby. I just love that guitar part. It's so sick.
Okie dokie, Ben Elman.
Hand clapping song.
That's a goodie too.
There's just something so unique and sparse and funky about that.
A little soft up, people get soft up. A little soft up, people get down.
For me, in my opinion, the funkiest song ever recorded is the live version of Africa from Live on the Queen Mary, which the band doesn't like. They feel like it's not recorded that well, and it was a private party for Paul McCartney, and the live performance of it, it's so fiery and energetic, and Zig is playing his butt off.
Ooh, Zigaboo Motorist.
And singing at the same time. And talk about heavy. It's not only my favorite Meters recording, but it's also, in my opinion, the funkiest thing ever recorded. And that's just...
And he has been saying that for decades.
I've been saying that for decades. Wow. And that's, you know, that's my favorite.
Man, mic drop. But, you know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, Galactic has come up with some incredible grooves that I could listen to and have, you know, on repeat, you know. And I'm thinking about songs like Mystery Tube. I'm thinking about Today's Blues from Into the Deep.
Wow.
Or Quiet Please.
Yeah.
From Crazy Horse Mongoose. And I have no idea how that name came about.
You want me to tell you?
Yeah.
Well, I have an uncle who named himself Crazy Horse Mongoose and then legally changed his name and then also legally changed his name to Quiet Please.
No way.
Yeah, it's true.
Really?
It's true. And that's where the names came from.
And he didn't change his name because the police were after him.
No, he's just, you know, he's a very, very interesting cat.
Yeah. But let me ask you all about the secret to a great instrumental. You know, Danny Barker, you know, who was the jazz sage of New Orleans, would always say that whatever you're doing, it has to tell a story. You know, if it's a solo, if it's an instrumental, you know, so what... I mean, do you all see these instrumentals the same way that you're telling a story, or are you conjuring a feeling?
I think a combination of both. I think there's ones where it's like we're just trying to make something groove and dance, and but then a tune like Quiet Please, we are trying to really evoke an emotion, and through the melody, get that emotion across.
And what emotion is that?
It's melancholy at some points, and then there's like this release to it that's kind of uplifting.
Thank you.
to me, it's like a group exhale. By group, I mean the musicians and the audience, where we, when we do a 2 or 3 night stand, we'll end that last night with that song. Traditional that our Lundy Gras set that ends usually around 6:30 in the morning when the sun is coming through the windows and the glass doors of Tipitina's. When we start seeing that sun coming through, that's when we end the night, and it always ends on Quiet Please, and it's like a giant exhale of the longest gig that we've just played in the year, and then we send everybody out, hopefully feeling good, into Mardi Gras morning.
Right, like, I guess what you all are describing is catharsis.
Yeah.
When we've talked to George Porter Jr. in the past, and John Cleary, and Don Vappi, and Waltz with Man Washington, people who've played a lot of funk music, they emphasize space. Mm-hmm. They say, you know, it can't smell if there's no space.
It's so wise.
It's so true.
So wise.
Yeah, well, you can't put that on Mount Rushmore, you know, about the smelling part. But it is, you know, I mean, but it seems to make sense,
that's,
you know?
That's something that seems like really experienced musicians figure out. You know, I don't think when you start playing and you start learning an instrument, maybe there's too much ego involved or something where you're just trying to say so much in this little space and you're trying to prove yourself or something. But I think that's really wise.
This is Robert. I think something Ben's, I think, I don't know if you came up with this quote, but I mean, one of the most powerful things that a producer has in their hand is the mute button. It's huge. I mean, oh, wow, it doesn't have to have 8 parts going on at the same time.
Right.
I think that's how a lot of our songs evolve. You know, they start at one place and they get to wherever they end up. Usually not by adding stuff, but by taking stuff away. And I think that's what, you know, maybe people are really affected like that. You know, it gives you room to figure it out on your own.
When did your association with Alan Toussaint begin? Did he also see some of your music as an extension of the Meters?
Well, he did definitely when we recorded Coolin' Off. That was our first album we recorded at Sea Saint, and he wasn't there during our session.
In 96.
But yeah. Word kind of got to him and to Reggie, his son, and they invited us back to record some music with them. It never really led to anything.
So over the years, you know, we just kind of touched base with him here and there. And then once we started sending him demos, he did 2 songs with us, and we were honored, absolutely honored to have him and to be able to work with him. I mean, he's one of our biggest heroes.
You have entered my web, okay? Because before our interview, I asked if you all would bring along some examples of how you put together your sound and all. And so since we've talked a little bit about Alan Toussaint, I'm wondering if you might be able to walk us through the creative process of making that great collaboration you all did called Bacchus.
Okay, so that song, we didn't even have Alan Toussaint in mind. We come up with these demo cells of ideas. Sometimes it's just a drum bass pattern. And at some point, we will try to sit back and figure out if it's going to be an instrumental, is it going to be a vocal song? Who would be really good for this tune? And this was an album, Yakame. The premise of the album was to collaborate with some of New Orleans' greatest. And we thought, wow, this could be a cool one for Alan Toussaint. So this was the demo before we had even decided for Alan to be on it.
So right now it sounds like a Mary J. Blige song.
Yes, it has that 8-note piano.
Yeah, so this is Ben Elman. We thought about that one for Mr. Toussaint, and after he took the demo and he did his work on it, he came to our studio, and he brought his files with him. He likes to work on his own, and he delivered this thing. This was amazing, his vocals and a piano track to the whole song. You know, we title all these demos that we have. We make 40 or 50 per record, and that one I think we made near Bacchus Sunday. So
Bacchus the parade,
Bacchus the parade. So we just called it Bacchus. We forgot to tell him that the working title is merely a working title, and he didn't have to write anything relating to Bacchus. We could have called it Song A, you know, but he had done this like research into who Bacchus, the Greek god, was, and got really deep with it and wrote these lyrics based around Bacchus, which was really interesting. So he brought us his vocals, piano, and in this example that we're going to play, we ended up soloing his vocals and piano, just so you can hear it, because why not? It's Alan Toussaint.
There you go.
You don't want to be left behind. There's room for you. Get in line. Come on. Heading for the future. If you don't want to be left behind, there's room for you. Just get in line. Come on. Heading for the future. Stagnation.
Then we, once we got it from him, then we decided to flip it, which we do all the time in songs. Like, it's like, oh, now we have the vocals, and we kind of abandoned even what the demo was originally, and we wanted to give it like a little more space in the drums and the feel. At that point, we also ran his vocals through a Leslie speaker, kind of a nod to what he had done on his classic song, Southern Nights.
Oh, that dreamy kind of sound. And Stanton Moore, what were you thinking in terms of drums? I mean, that's a hell of a drum line.
Oh, thank you. I mean, so I have all these different percussive elements around the studio, like all these different clay drums that you would play with your hand. And
does that mean clay meaning made of clay, or clay meaning the name of the drum?
Yeah, clay made out of clay, like an udu drum. And it looks like it's kind of like a flattened out hourglass looking thing. And you play it with your hand. And there are guys who are masters of this kind of stuff. And I don't profess to be that. But in a studio, you know, you might be able to get like a couple good bars out of me and loop it up. But in the studio, we try to look at it as a different medium.
Exactly.
So the last example, we added some more elements based around his vocals and pianos. We made some arrangement changes and then mixed it.
If you don't want to be left behind, there's room for you. Just get in line. Come on. Inclination, don't wait at the station. Do what you have to do. The future is calling to you.
I mean, the song is deep. It's got a deep groove, and it's so like quintessential Toussaint in the sense that it is encouraging to people, you know.
Don't get caught in the rut. The future is waiting for you.
Yes. And then when he says, like, just get in line, come on. You know what I mean?
If you don't want to be left behind.
That's right. If you don't want to be left behind, just get in line. It so perfectly reflects his state of mind at that stage of his life after the storm. But then even in his heyday, he was trying to encourage people to kind of like, you know, do something.
And I think you're right. Lyrically, he was always like,
Yes,
that.
We Can is one of the, you know, speaking of lyrics.
One of the great songs.
We play that song often, both with Galactic and with Dragon Smoke, with Ivan Neville, because of Alan bringing people together. Yes, we can.
That's
we
right.
We can do it.
That's exactly right. And when we talked to him some years ago, you know, we asked him about this song, and I want to play it for you, what he said.
Oh my God, I was scared.
Those bums.
Because he was the one to say what he felt, you know, he didn't hold back.
I love that. I love it dearly. That's a funky group for one thing.
Yes, indeed.
And they're so innovative, and their basic track is just always right on. They represent us so very well.
Oh, my God.
And I was so glad that they invited me in on that. So I took it from that basic track and added my T T-O-U-S-S-A-I-N-T in it. And I was so glad that I did, because I love that collaboration.
I hope you do more. I honestly do.
I hope so, too.
Yeah, because it is dynamite.
I hope so, yes.
Wow.
Well, we can just retire now. That's it. Where else you go from there, man?
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
I thought you'd want to hear it.
Thank you for playing that.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
That's Alan Toussaint and Galactic with Bacchus from the 2010 album Yakame. Coming up, a miracle happened in New Orleans on the corner of Napoleon Avenue and Chapatula Street. Stay tuned. I'm Gwen Tompkins, and this is Music Inside Out. The band Galactic has mastered the art of collaboration. They play very well with others.
Look, look, for red in Louisiana, camouflage bandana. Around there I had the manner, Magnolia had the stand up. Didn't believe in Santa, I hustled in front of grandma. Last seen in the circle when the lights went out. Should I believe I made a couple hundred thousand in droughts? Tyler, Donna, and Robinson when I was out and about. Behind a second line, cruising 22s in the six. You get a whole lot of respect when you that dude for the bricks. I mean,
now listen up, I make it do.
Baby, go slow. My back's sore, I can't party like that no more. Get off the floor, my knees won't let me get that low.
That's Macy Gray, Mystical and Manny Fresh, Erica Falls, and Juvenile with Galactic. Band members Stanton Moore, Ben Elman, and Robert Mercurio are with us. For a 2012 album celebrating carnival traditions across the hemisphere, they reached out to the Kip Renaissance High School Marching Band.
This is just a section where you hear the bass and the drums.
So that's you, Robert Mercurio, on bass?
That's actually Jeff Raines on bass.
That's Jeff Raines on bass, who's normally the guitarist.
Yeah, and we do a lot like that. Like, sometimes I'll write some guitar parts. Sometimes he'll write some bass stuff. Rich has written some horn parts.
So the studio is like your laboratory.
Totally. Experimental laboratory. We feel very comfortable there. We're not on a time clock. We're not seeing the dollar signs fly out the window
it's our own studio. So everyone knows. We're not just like spending money in the studio. What can we do? We have just our little playhouse, you know. Where we get to make our records. And when we're off the road, you know, we keep our noon to five office hours.
Do you really?
We try to.
Ben and Corey Henry, our trombone player at the time, came into the studio and they worked on horn melodies with a marching band in mind. And then at that point, we had Stanton come in and replay the beat with a more of a live feel. So
Ben Elman, how do you do that? How do you create that line that a whole band, like, I don't know, how many children were there in the band?
It's probably 50 or 60.
Yeah.
50 people are going to play. Do you go simple or do you...
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, well, I will say I was with Corey Henry, who grew up around marching bands. That was really not part of my background, but that's my favorite part of all the parades. So, you know, he had a good friend, Lionel Karate Williams, who was the band director at Kip Renaissance. And so we basically gave him, I think, pretty much what we just played, that example of just real demo rough horns and our little arrangement. And he had arranged it for his marching band and prepared for us to come in and record his band. Which is actually kind of a funny story, because we had these really short window, because his class that he wanted us to record with was like
45 minutes.
45 minutes.
And he was sending a couple kids off to detention in the middle of it. And, you know, it was like the whole thing was insane.
And we were like set up
trying to record. And,
yeah. At the school?
Yeah, at this high school. We had to go to the band room.
The one down on St. Claude?
Yeah, on the ninth ward.
Yeah.
You know, it's like seeing this whole thing unravel. And we're like, oh, we only have 45 minutes to get this down. We're used to kind of like endless hours in the studio. And it was a little stressful.
And so how did the kid, well, obviously the kids acquitted themselves pretty well, huh?
Well, he had worked it out a little with them. He had rehearsed them, you know, so he had printed out the music ahead of time.